G'day everyone and welcome to this rapid fire edition of the Raw Rugby Podcast where we preview all the team news. And this week it's all hands on deck. It's back to six matches for the round, which we're all excited about. And as well, on Sunday afternoon, the Super W final. Joining me, Christy Doran, to run you through everything you need to know about this weekend's action, Nick Wasiliev, social media and Raw Rugby writer. Nick, bloody good to see you, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. 10 rounds. It's flown by. It is absolutely crazy. And following the results from the weekend gone, I believe that Australia had its best year against the Kiwis since 2015, which is particularly, I think, quite notable. But here's my question going into this particular round. Do you reckon this is the most important round in the context of the season? We have five Aussie-Kiwi derbies, five exciting games. I reckon it's a real statement time. It's a statement round, isn't it, Christy?
I actually tend to agree with you. It's not often I agree with you on these sorts of things. But if you look what's coming next week, there's some really tough challenges that lie ahead. And I look at, and we're putting the cart before the horse here, but the Hurricanes will be hosting the Waratahs. The Crusaders will be hosting the Reds. The Rebels will be hosting the Blues. So there's a lot of matches there that if you don't win this weekend, the pressure firmly comes on you a week later. So, yeah, a lot to look forward to. But we'll go back to this week. Anzac matches right across the round, five Trans-Tasman fixtures, as well as the Drua hosting the Moana Pacifica on early Saturday afternoon. But we'll start in Christchurch with the Crusaders hosting the Rebels. Nick, talk us through some of those changes.
Yeah, very interesting clash up here. The interesting staying on 2015, that first round that year, the Rebels actually beat the Crusaders in Christchurch. And it's fair to say that they're a real shake of the sauce bottle to do it again going this weekend. I mean, the Crusaders do have some returning faces and some big names coming back, the most obvious one being a certain Scott Barrett, who makes a very, very critical return, who will come in at the expense of Jamie Hannah, who will drop back to the bench. I think also a big one is the decision to bring in the likes of Fletcher Newell and George Bowell into the tight five, which I think is a very good move. I think Fletcher Newell is one of the most exciting props coming through in the entire competition and a really exciting prospect. Additionally, David Havili returns via the bench for Ryan Crotty, who unfortunately was ruled out due to after the loss in the Western against the Western Force. But the Rebels have changes of their own, and the big one being that Rob Leota is back. He is the captain is back, but he will he'll be on the bench and aiming to kind of get the Rebels home strongly. However, it has come at the expense of a certain Lucan Salakai-Aloto, who is suffering from a foot injury, and he's expected to miss 6 weeks, which is a considerable loss for the Rebels in the engine room. He'll be replaced by Josh Canham, who will be returning from concussion. So quite a lot of movement and also quite a lot of returning names for this particular match, Christy.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I think it's one that the Crusaders, they will be thinking this is an opportunity to get our season back underway and back on track. It was interesting that Rob Penny spoke to reporters in New Zealand today saying that their finals hopes are still very much alive, and indeed the fact that they think that they can still win the competition and make it 8 straight, I think that's totally out of the question and probably just a coach trying to say what he thinks he should be saying at this point in time. But it's a huge loss, Lucan's absence. And I spoke to Nick Styles a short time ago and he told me that, he suffered that foot injury towards the back end of that win against the Highlanders. Of course, they had the bye last week, the Rebels. So that bit of news went a bit under the radar, but it's a really big blow because the Rebels, although Josh Canham's coming through and they've got a pretty good front row, they'll lose the leadership, the experience, the line-out prowess, which has also been an area that they've struggled in for a few years, but certainly the last couple of months as well. So, yeah, that's a big blow. But I think the Crusaders, it's interesting, you made reference to the fact that Newell and Bauer are starting. I've been a bit disappointed by Joe Moody and Owen Franks, and I think they're probably, you know, we saw Moody miss out on the World Cup squad last year for the All Blacks, and that's probably an indication of where they're at the moment. They're not quite the heights that they were when they were regular starters for the All Blacks, but nonetheless, it's going to be a great battle, and that one with Taniela Tupou once again coming off the bench, that's going to be a really good contest. The other one, Johnny McNichol starting at fullback for the Crusaders, but I think the Crusaders will win, and I think they might win by a couple of tries.
Interesting. I'm actually going to go the other way. I think it's even though I agree with you that that Salakai Lotu is a massive loss, and very likely if you're the Crusaders, you'd be going, here's a great opportunity to target, you know, key leaders, especially target the lineout. And try and just bully the Rebels up front. There is a lot of cohesion that has been coming through in that side with the Rebels, and I'm trusting them to be able to do the job, to be able to actually get the win here. And if they are serious about finals, you've got to put away these games. And yes, the Crusaders, and it is such an X factor. It is such an X factor, the Crusaders at home, because it's easy to forget they beat the Chiefs at home earlier this year. So maybe the Christchurch crowd will get a result out of them. But for how the side has been looking so far, I am going to go Rebels. I think they'll get their second win in Christchurch.
Yeah, it is a – you think about the Crusaders, and a lot of people have been tipping them in recent weeks just for the fact that you feel like they're going to come good at some point in time. I get the feeling it's this week, but at the same time, coming back from Perth, it's a long travel trip home. A lot of teams struggle heading to Perth. How a side responds when they come back from Perth will be an interesting one. We'll move on to the second game, and it's another really great Trans-Tasman fixture ahead, the Waratahs and the Chiefs in Sydney. I was there last year, and the Chiefs were really poor. Probably one of their worst games of the year, I thought. How they respond off the back and how both sides respond off the back of a bye will be fascinating, but the back lines look pretty tasty on both sides.
Absolutely, and of course the big one for the Waratahs is the return of Marky Mark. He is back into the starting side with Tristan Riley and Max Jorgensen in the back three, which I think is going to be a very clear choice by DC. He's had to make a couple of changes. I think the big ones, in all honesty, is what's happening in the forward pack. Ned Hannigan will be wearing the number 8 jersey. Langy Gleeson will be on the bench. But Hugh Sinclair, and I think one of the players that you and I have been very excited about, Miles Amatasoro, has been named in the starting side, which as a result, the other result is Jed Holloway, who drops back to the bench. Very interesting call there. There's a lot of presents a potential X factor, because I think Miles has looked promising. He hasn't really had the chance to shine this season, I'd argue, but he's looked very promising coming into the side at the tail end of games, even when it's been a situation where the Waratahs have kind of been, you know, missing out in those crucial closing moments or been blown out of the water entirely. I think the big one for the Chiefs for me is Caleb Boscher, who is taking over the captaincy for the Chiefs over Luke Jacobson, who is still out due to injury. But there is a lot of changes to this visitor side, isn't there, Christy?
Yeah, there sure is. But it's a very exciting looking side. Damien McKenzie there at fly half, Sean Stevenson at fullback, Etni Nanai Satoru, Narawa, Anton Leonard-Brown. It's probably the most exciting back line in the competition. There's some points in this side. It's whether or not, and I think the game will open up the longer it goes, it's whether or not the Waratahs forwards can keep in the contest. They've lost one of their hookers. Theo Thori has gone down with a foot injury over the last 48 hours. It's meant that Darren Coleman's just having to go to the well and go right throughout to shoot shield to manage to fill a squad at the moment. It's really testing their depth. I can understand the changes to the second row. I think Ned Hannigan's been superb. But, yeah, it's whether or not that front row can ensure that the Waratahs have a platform to play off in the second half. That's the one that's going to test them. I think the Chiefs will be too good, probably too good by a try or two, but the Waratahs have shown an ability to stick tight, and especially against New Zealand oppositions. We know that those really narrow losses to the Highlanders and to the Blues earlier on this year. So, yeah, it'll be fascinating to see how the Chiefs go off the back of that bye, because they struggled last year off the back of byes.
Yeah, agreed. I'm gonna go Chiefs on this one too. But God, what a statement maker it would be for the Waratahs season if they were to pull out a win here, and particularly over a very key, those kind of trend pace setting comp teams in the likes of the Blues, the Canes, and the Chiefs. We need Aussie sides need more wins against those teams. So, be a great clash, I reckon.
Yeah, it's going to be a ripper. Third one of the weekend, the Fiji Drua hosting Moana Pacifica, returning to Saturday afternoon. I don't think they'll ever play a Friday night game again off the back of losing their first match this season at home on the Friday night against the unbeaten Canes. But back to La Toka, Churchill Park against Moana Pacifica. It looms as a game for Mick Burns Drua to get back on track.
Yes, it does. It was a very surprise. I mean, it was a really interesting game in Suva, but it was just the pure class of the Hurricanes really coming through. And I know that they've got a couple of players that they'll be bringing in, particularly Armstrong Rabula, who will be starting out at fly half. And Penny Matawalu in the halves, who I think has shown real glimpses of potential over the last few years. So new halves combination, which will be very interesting. Up front, there's going to be a new player coming off the bench, Zuriel Togiatama, who will be coming in as a replacement for Ikaveri. But a critical inclusion for the Drua will be the fact that Nelly Derelangi will actually be starting for that side. So incredibly important return in both experience, a level head on the field, and coming up at a perfect time against Moana Pacifica, who really have kind of stuck with consistency. I think they've kind of realized that win against the Reds was a key moment of kind of cohesion for the sides, because Umanga has effectively named the same starting lineup that beat the Reds in round 8. There will be a couple of changes off the bench, with Anisi making a return from concussion injury. And also there'll be two other inclusions on the bench, with Nerai Fomai and Taua Mataini coming off onto the bench as well. So very exciting game. I always really love these Pacifica clashes, particularly when it takes place in Lautoka.
Yeah, well, you only have to cast your mind back to round 2 in Super Round on Saturday afternoon, when the Pacifica held on 39-36 against the Drua to get a taste and a reminder of what these two sides bring to the equation. But it will be a fun game to watch, and I imagine it will be pretty open. There will be some points scored. I'll tip the Drua. That's mainly because they're at home. We know that they're pretty formidable there. Not so great on the road. One of the games that most people will be tuning into that will be fascinating to see whether or not the Brumbies can respond off the back of their really demoralising 46-7 loss last week to the Blues at Eden Park. They'll host the Hurricanes. It's a side that they've knocked out the last two Super Rugby quarterfinals. The Canes come there without Asafa Amua, who's been ruled out with an injury, an MCL injury that we'll see him miss up to a couple of months of footy. So that's a really big loss. But the Brumbies have made a few changes, and they've welcomed back some really big additions in Wallabies, Nick.
Yeah, this is probably the game of the weekend. It's at least a definite top two contender, because if you're a Hurricanes player, you've got scores to settle in Canberra for after those two quarterfinal departures, and particularly last year in very controversial circumstances. But as you allude to, Chris, I think we cannot deny how much of an influence Amua has been. He has been phenomenal this season. I would go so far as probably like the top three players of the whole competition. He has been formidable. James O'Reilly will come in as cover for him and has gargantuan shoes to fill. Brett Cameron returns at fly half, as well as Ruben Love at fullback. And it's incredible to think that the Hurricanes are currently on a 6-match losing streak in Canberra. If there is any time, if you are a Canes fan, that you are to to break it. It is now with the streak that they are currently on and the form they are at. But as you alluded to, Brumbies were, best part of the word, humiliated at Eden Park, and they will have a point to prove. And there is few things more exciting if you are a Brumbies fan than looking at that list and seeing Alan Alalatoa starting. One of the best players, one of the most experienced players, an extremely well-regarded player coming back into the side, a very crucial return if you are a fan of both the Wallabies and the Brumbies. And of course, as you alluded to, Le Niketau, also coming, slotting back into outside centre, an absolute sledgehammer, probably one of the informed back players for the Wallabies over the last several years. So just a real clash of great talent, great heads. And if there is any, I think this is a real statement time for the Hurricanes. I know that a lot of people have gone, well, are they real contenders? Are they there at the top of the ladder? If they exercise some ghosts in Canberra, they definitely will be.
Yeah, so the Hurricanes got the most tries this year. They're second on clean breaks. They've got the best tackle percentage, and they're up against the Brumbies, whose tackle percentage has dropped down to about 80% or so. That's an area where Ben Mullen, the new defence coach, will desperately be wanting to turn around. The other key change, no Nick Frost, been left out. Perhaps it is probably form related, but also maybe an opportunity to give him a breather, a spell to try to find his form. Charlie Kale, Rob Valentini, Rory Scott's going to form the back row. That will see Jerome Brown drop back to the bench. So I like that. I think Rory Scott's a really talented player. I wish we saw him set up an unbelievable try, I think, to Corey Toole last year with an awesome right-to-left pass from Rory Scott, who's got some ball skills about him. That was against the Canes across the ditch in Wellington. I think he's just a baller. It's a big opportunity for Ryan Lonergan and Noah Lolesio off the back of their Shockers last week to respond and impress in front of Joe Schmidt and the Wallabies coaching team, which last week, with the addition of Jeff Parling and the coaching team that forms that. So a big one for the Brumbies. I've gone back and forward about who I think will win this. My hunch is that the Hurricanes are in great form, that they're coming back from Fiji could be the difficult one because there's a lot more travel that they've had to endure. We know that the Brumbies are very, very good at home. I'm going to convince myself into this. I'm going to go to the Brumbies, but it's going to be a really, really good game, I think. Who are you going to tip for that one?
How could you? Oh, my goodness. I have been tipping back and forth as well because it would be wrong to clean sweep to assume that the Hurricanes line ends here because they have been playing so well. For argument's sake, in this podcast, I'm going to go Hurricanes, but do not be surprised if I flip back and forth when you read the tipping article tomorrow morning. And I'm suddenly finding myself going the Brumbies as well. It's the right problem to have.
The penultimate match this weekend, the Highlanders hosting the Western Force, and this comes at a really crucial time for both teams. I think effectively you win, you give yourself a finals chance. If you lose, it's a long, long way back. Mathematically, still a chance, of course, but it'll be a massive blow if either side loses this one. Who have you got and what are some of the changes?
Yeah, this is a very interesting game out in Dunedin. Both sides desperate, but I think it's fair to say that coming into this game in very different places, Highlanders will be desperate to get back after that kind of humiliation. Again, staying with that word against the Reds, not being able to score a single point at Suncorp. Probably some of the big ones, of course, Folau Fakatava is back into the starting side. I think that is a very critical inclusion. Additionally, Reece Patchell, very much someone, that halves combination has been night and day for the Highlanders this season and a very critical inclusion. In addition to the fullback position in Ratavamba Mavuki, Neatkins also coming back into the side. As well, which are the key inclusions. For the Western Force, for the visitors, wins against the Crusaders, breaking a 10-year Duck, and lo and behold, a lot of those returning players performed extremely well. Of course, Isaac Rodder is the big one, and he's now being into the starting side, and it's a perfect time because the Force player Tom Franklin suffered a concussion. Very critical, experienced head coming into the engine room for them. Additionally, as well, on top of that, Jeremy Williams, the regular captain, is also going to be back on the bench. So the Force do have a quality option on the bench for the line out and the set piece. Marley Pierce returns back to the starting side at loose head prop after Ryan Coxon, who I think has actually had a pretty decent season, considering he was rushed in at very short notice. Getting a head knock with Ollie Barrett coming onto the bench, as well as former Wallaby hooker Faliti Kaiatuhu, who I hope can actually make a really good impression, when he comes on. It's very hard with Tom Horton being in the form he has. Of course, the big name as well, Kirtley Beale, also in the starting side for the Western Force. This is a tough one. I reckon this is a real underdog potential game to watch, Christy.
Yeah, well, before Reece Patchell was included, I was thinking maybe the Western Force or a sneaky chance. I think that changes it a little bit, but you wouldn't rule them out. Both sides will be sniffing something. And I just think the couple of injuries, one to Ryan Coxon, the second to Tom Franklin, that hurts a little bit. Both guys have been effectively used over the last 2 months. And it just hurts the Force's depth up front, especially in the front row. I'll go the Highlanders, but not with any great confidence. They've been pretty poor of late. If the Western Force can get some front football, I have no doubt that the Force can score points. I reckon it will be a high scorer. I'd go the Highlanders, but with no confidence. At the last game, Reds and Blues. It'll be a real arm wrestle, this one. The Reds have got a couple of guys out. They've welcomed back Josh Fluke. They're up against the Blues team that last week just bullied the Brumbies. What are some of the key changes?
Well, as you alluded to, I think Fluke back in is massive. That is a massive inclusion for the Reds. It gives their backline so much more dimension. The other big one is Angus Blythe returning in the tight five, who gets to replace Cormac Daly, who has he's been carrying a couple of injuries, so he's going to get some rest time. It's definitely going to be an exciting game to watch. The Blues, they've looked fantastic. And I think the key, the sheer physicality, I think you alluded to it when you were chatting with Alex Hodgman on the podcast earlier this week with Matt Tamua, was just their sheer physicality, real physicality. It was straight up just bashing forward and bullying to really kind of take that game away from the Brumbies. A couple of big surprises, and the big one for me for the Blues is the likes of Caleb Clark dropping back to the bench to make way for AJ Lamb. Mark Talia also moves to the other side of the to the other wing. Angus Taubau starts. Patrick Tuipulotu also starts, and also Anton Wagner starts as well. I'll tell you what, if it was at Eden Park, it would be, I think I would feel like I would have no hesitation in saying that I think the Blues would run away with this game. But Reds have a great record at Suncorp, don't they, Christy?
They do, but I don't think it's going to help them enough this week. I think the Blues, and I think the Blues by a couple of tries. Yes, no Akira Ioane either, who's got a child on the way, I think, but Caleb Clark, I think that's just good rotation there. We know that he's not necessarily been dropped. He was very, very impressive last week running over the top of guys like Noel Alessio. That was just smart rugby, and they've been so direct. And when you're missing Fraser McWright, Tay McDermott, Sarah Uru, Jordan Bataille, who's now out with a season-ending injury, hence Fluke's return to the 13 jersey, I think that just will start to tell. You might be able to get past the Highlanders, who haven't been great at all this year, especially over the last month. But against the Blues, that's a completely different kettle of fish. So I'll go the Blues by a couple of tries.
I'm with you on the Blues, but I do not think by a couple of tries. I think we're going to have a thriller. This is my other contender for match of the round. I think Reds fans, get down there. Absolutely get down there. And then while you're at it, get down to the Super Rugby Women's Final the following day, but definitely get down to Suncorp, because you're going to have a classic on your hand. I think the more they can get there, the more that will motivate the Reds to potentially pull it. But yeah, the Blues are looking fantastic, so I'm going with the visitors.
We'll jump to the Super W final in just a second. Just a final comment about that. Alex Hodgman, Jeffrey Tumunga-Allen, big games against their former, Hodgman's former side, but their former Kiwi teammates. I think it's a big one as well for any of these Wallaby aspirants and guys like Liam Wright, Harry Wilson, Ryan Smith, Hunter Bysami. Those four in particular, they've got to have big games if they want to be firmly in the mix, especially Wright and Wilson. If they can match the physicality of the Blues, they can match any international side throughout the world. Joe Schmidt will be looking at it, and some players might have their names written down, so others might have them wiped clear if they don't manage to front up against the Blues at home. Yeah, you just spoke about it. Ballymore on Sunday, it's going to host the Super W final. Probably a slightly unusual place to host it, given the Waratahs are playing the Fijiana Drua. But nonetheless, it's going to be an awesome game. 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon, a repeat of the 2022 final. The Waratahs looking for their first title since 2021. A pretty settled side for the Waratahs that they've named.
Very settled. It's going to be a fantastic game, and really get amongst this one, because the next time all of these players will come out, it'll be in Wallaroo Gold for the Pacific Four series. So there will be a bit of a break. So I reckon we'll have a real great match to finish this off. Very settled Waratah side coming in. Piper Duck as captain, Arabella McKenzie, Malaya Stewart out on the wing. Eva Kapani has dropped back to the bench, obviously in a player management decision, a very good one there, as long as a couple of great inclusions. And a bit of history also set to be made with Emily Robertson, who will come off the bench, will become the most capped Waratah of all time within what will be her 33rd appearance when she comes off the bench, which is a great little bit of history there for that developing Waratahs program and side. The Drua, though, are not far behind them, and there is a reason why they have won two titles back-to-back. The big key inclusion is the return of Belita Tawaki, who starts in the front row, is the main key change for that side. She has just spent a stint playing in Super Rugby Aupiki, and has now kind of dropped back into that Drua side for this final series, and had a big influence in their win over the Force, kind of leading from the front in that set piece area. So I expect a very close, tight contest, but and you'd be a fool to go against the Drua in a grand final, given how they've been the last few years. But the Waratahs have been on a mission this season, Christy.
Yeah, they have. And I just think that there's a bit too much quality throughout that side. They're very settled. They've been settled all year. I think that they will be too strong. But nice acknowledgement there for Emily Robertson, a stalwart of this Waratah side. She's played a lot for the Wallaroos as well, and I'm sure we'll see her much more throughout this year as the international season gets underway. And it gets underway really quickly in only 3 weeks' time, a doubleheader with the Waratahs men's side. So a lot to look forward to. The Super W final really wraps it up. It's nice that it has a bit of a standalone event. I'm sure it would have gone just as well had it been on Friday night ahead of the Waratahs and Chiefs. But you know, you've got to draw attention to the Super W final, and I think it's not a great opportunity to do that. So be sure to check that out on Stan on Sunday afternoon. Six games before that on the men's side of things. A lot to look forward to. It's going to be a great weekend, and I'll be having Matt Tamua, as always, joining early next week for the Raw Rugby Podcast. Thanks, Nick, for joining. Look forward to doing it again soon.
Indeed. Oh, watching rugby. Tough times.
Tough times indeed. It'll be fun. All right. Cheers then.